Hi, this is John Ryan with www.teamhandballnews.com, and with me is David Thompson. David is the Athletes Advisory Council representative for the men's program, and as such, David is also a member of USA Team Handball's Board of Directors. David, we just got out of the town hall meeting. Steve Passerino gave a summary of what's going on with the federation. He, towards the end, he gave a brief overview of the plan for the national team to focus on 2016. And he also indicated that he had met with the members here on the national teams, people in the player pools, at yesterday. They had a nice hour-long meeting. What took place at that meeting? Can you give us a brief rundown?
Yeah, the purpose of the meeting, I called it, was to let the athletes, first off, ask questions for the direction and of USA Team Handball to make sure that they had that forum with the higher-ups in the organization, and also to hear what USA Team Handball, the NGB, feels like the direction for the men's and women's program should be, and their understanding of that direction and how that process is going to work for the next 4 to 6 years.
Okay. What is the plan as you see it?
Well, the way USA Team Handball, they are really focusing on getting as many young folks playing as possible. I think the goal is over 100,000. And then by 2013, their hopes is to bring on a coach and to focus on that young core alongside with, of course, you know, it's an open tryout, so any, you know, it's not age discriminated, but any age can do it. But their concept is as many people playing as possible, increases the level of that pool, which will challenge other athletes to do better and to work harder, and hopefully by, you know, 2016 have a shot not just to qualify, but actually to produce some results at the Olympic Games.
Okay, so we're sitting here now, May 2010. I think what you're saying is from between now and 2013, or as Steve Passerino said at the meeting the day after the 2012 Olympics were over, the focus is, hey, let's find as many youth athletes as we can, introduce them to the game, get them involved with the sport.
That is the concentration of what the majority of the board feels like.
Okay. So. And then in 2013, you mentioned the possibility of hiring some coaches, and in the town hall meeting, it was sort of referenced that maybe a training center would be set up, but there wasn't a strong commitment to that. At least that was my perception from the meeting. What is your perception?
They haven't been very clear on that. They've thrown out a couple different ideas, but there has been no clarity on and exactly what the direction is. I know for the athletes, national team athletes, men and women, their goal right currently is to try to get them to play overseas, encourage playing overseas if that's possible, because the reality is you can play more games.
Right.
It's exciting to hear that there is some hope of some kind of training facility or future for the athletes that are unable to train overseas.
So it's not entirely clear. Maybe this is some good follow-on questions for me to ask Steve in terms of what's going to happen in between 2013 and 2016. I think they're still wrestling with the idea of a residence team as was traditionally done by USA Team Handball. Obviously, the focus now is getting people to play overseas and to shoot for 2016. However, one of the big things that was mentioned there at the meeting is 2012, in terms of any USA Team Handball financial support, that there is none on the table now in order to start down the pathway for qualification for 2012. In other words, and for the United States, that is the 2011 Pan American Games in Guadalajara, Mexico, with qualification against Canada in December. Can you elaborate, you know, some of the discussion that took place, you know, in regards to the decision to say we're not going to try for 2012, or we're not going to try with resources?
Right. Let me first say I totally disagree with that that and have expressed that to the board, that I feel like the goal of the NGB is to support the men's and women's program in any and all ways, and that athletes have that right to compete, and that the NGB's responsibility is to help them in any way to have success today, tomorrow, not just in the future. So in board discussions, that is being stated that we feel like there should be funding for the Canada match. Majority of the board feels like the resources that would be allocated to that should be allocated towards grassroots efforts.
But just to clarify, and I think it's important, from a legal aspect, the USOC bylaws, it talks about not denying our athletes the right to participate. And the language I think Steve was using, and I think the language that you're repeating, you try and make the distinction between, giving someone the right versus, giving someone the right plus funding,
that's right,
if you will. And I think what they're saying is, if you guys want to put together a team, self-finance it, we're not going to prevent you from doing that. I guess even if you do that from a self-finance perspective, though, you're still going to have a coach. You're still going to have some type of oversight in terms of, how that team's going to get decided, who's going to coach that team, et cetera. Has there been any discussion relative to that?
Yeah, they mentioned a little bit that USA Team Handball would assist in helping us helping the athletes find a coach, helping facilitate the selection process, the criteria, but just wouldn't allocate resources to that.
Or I guess you could say minimal resources.
Exactly. So
they're not going to. I get the impression they're not going to pay for travel.
Right.
Or lodging. But maybe some uniforms.
Yeah.
Helping. There'll be a certain amount of staff time that will have to be used to facilitate.
Right.
Even if you get a volunteer coach, somebody's got to select a volunteer coach. You said earlier, you talked about, the athletes should be given the resources to do it. But where do you draw the line as to what the right amount of resources should be invested? I guess I could say in the extreme case, if USA Team Handball said, we're going to do every single thing we can do to qualify for 2012. We're going to bring guys in. We're going to set up a resident program. We're going to practice twice a day between now and December, and we're going to go on overseas trips, before the Pan Am Games. We're going to, have all types of competition. We're going to bring in a European coach. I mean, a whole host of things, could be done, and there's no doubt that the U.S. Federation doesn't have unlimited resources. Where do you draw the line from the extreme case, which I just described, and the minimal case, which I think the Federation is leaning toward?
In my opinion, I think you do whatever it takes to help your team win. If that takes practicing two times a week to do that, then, sending a team to lose is a waste of money. Doing your best and committing to that team, I think majority of people understand what it's going to take, that time and effort and resources to do it the right way. It's not like this is the first time we've ever had a team handball tournament or whatever. It's there's history that can teach us.
But I would argue that that's simply not realistic to spend the level of resources that I described.
Right, of course.
We don't have the funds to do it, and we don't have the funds to do that. And if we did do it, it would just totally deplete, everything the Federation is trying to do. Is there a medium? Is there a happy medium between the two that you think makes sense?
Of course. I mean, and again, I think it's there has been history to say, hey, whether that's getting guys together for 3 weeks ahead of time, and getting a coach that knows the athletes, that's or is willing to take the time off of work and not be paid a huge salary to do that. Then,
I guess as the athlete's rep, you would be could see sense in some type of middle plan, where you guys do have a training camp, maybe one trip to Europe. I guess I'm saying I don't see any possible way that the U.S. can go whole hog to try and qualify for 2012. But I feel that they could do more than the bare minimum.
Right. Of course.
And I guess what, you know, putting words in my mouth, you would like to see more of a discussion along those lines.
Right. But the discussion kind of ends because there is no commitment to resources. Okay. So we have to do is...
Have you talked to the USOC in regards to this?
Yes, I have talked to the USOC about it.
And what was their response?
Surprisingly, their response was that it was made clear to them that our goal as USC Team Handball was 2016, and that the expectations have been since the new NGB took over that 2016 would be the goal. They still want our athletes to be able to compete in events, but they did say that that was stated.
But the USOC is happy with, you know, basically cutting off virtually all funding in order, you know, the USOC is comfortable in saying if the U.S. Handball Federation does not want to fund, you know, middle aggressive or highly aggressive or, you know, absolutely no funding at all, they're okay with it.
I mean, with the U.S. Olympic Committee, it's trust. They say, hey, you're in charge of the NGB. You govern it the way you think it needs to be governed. So I
guess they would only step in if they said, if the U.S. Federation said, no, you cannot even self-finance a team.
Right.
I guess is that point.
That would be against the rules, exactly.
Okay. You also made a comment which I disagree with,
okay,
where you said it's pointless to send a team to lose. And I've made the argument that, you know, personally, I don't see a realistic chance of qualifying for 2012. I really don't. I think the competition level from Brazil and Argentina right now is just too strong. I just don't see a realistic. Even if we went whole hog, I don't think that we could qualify for 2012. And as an athlete, you don't want to hear that.
Right.
And I was in the same place. I'd say, hey, I don't care what you think. You know, I think differently, and I'm an American. I want to go compete. I want to win. That being said, even if I know that we can't send a team that I think is going to qualify for the Olympics, I think we could send a team that could qualify for the Pan Am Games. And I've made the argument that if you were to send such a team and you were to mix it with some veterans and some younger athletes that stand a very realistic chance of being around in 2016. I've made the argument that when they're playing in the 2015 Pan American Games to qualify, I sure would like to have some of those guys been there before.
Right.
Even if it's sitting on the reserve, even if it's going to Guadalajara and losing by 25 to Brazil and Argentina, I would have liked them to have experienced that so that they know what they're up against. And I guess that's my argument, that I can make an argument for spending the resources to go to, you know, to seriously try and qualify with, you know, whether it's formally agreed to or it's an unwritten agreement that, you know what, some of the guys on this team, they may not be our best players right now, but we're making some roster decisions with 2016 in mind. Is that something that you could agree with?
Yeah, I think in my context of the statement of not sending a team to lose was in the statement about finances, resourcing. You know, we don't want to just send a team who's never practiced together to just go play. I think it takes effort because we want, as athletes, we want to be able to prepare. And it's not, you know, it's not fair to the athlete to just say go up there and play, even though you haven't trained together. So I'm not saying, I think every competition is good competition. You know, that's where you grow when you play against better teams. I would never say don't. I mean, we're going to lose some games. That's obvious. But playing as much as possible is obviously better.
Let's switch gears a little bit. We've got several athletes now playing overseas. Many of them in Germany. How is that going? Are you pleased with that setup? Do you think those athletes are getting the right kind of support that they need from the Federation?
I think that the Federation could do a better job of letting the athletes know that that there's possibility of playing overseas. And we've had a few athletes who have gone over there and had paperwork issues, and we could do a better job of helping them succeed. Those athletes go over there that have committed to have some success, and of course, I think some financial means to get athletes over there.
Are some of the athletes being supported financially by the Federation?
Not to my knowledge. Most of the athletes that are over there currently are either doing the work themselves or through the WCAP program.
Okay. Contextually, I will say that I will credit the Federation. I think that they're doing a better job than has ever been done in the past in terms of getting athletes overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I going back to my playing days, I think there was suspicion that they didn't want players to go overseas because they had a residence program and it would deplete the residence program. They would not have the athletes then to bring in new players to teach the sport. Historically, they're doing better than what was done in the past, but I think what you're saying is that they could do more.
I think so. If the goal is to get athletes playing overseas, which would be playing more and playing at a higher level, then I think streamlining a process, making it as easy for the athlete as possible who's going to commit their life to playing overseas.
How much are guys and girls doing this on their own, and how much is the Federation, holding their hand? And have people, come to you and said, hey, David, man, the Federation, is not helping me out here. Can you talk to them?
Yeah, I've had a few athletes come to me and say that. I think for the most part, the athletes are wise enough to at least contact the Federation and get information. And then what the Federation is doing currently, I believe, is they're just giving them a point of contact overseas and saying, hey, talk to this representative and he'll help you get settled. And I think we could probably do a little bit more. Okay.
Finally, talking about the board itself, you have been on the board now for how long?
I think this 18 months on
18
this board,
months.
And I was on the previous board as well.
How is your relationship on the board? I think you've probably participated in 4 meetings mm-hmm. now. What's your perception and how the board functions?
I think it functions as a typical board, but what would be considered atypical for previous boards for USA Team Handball.
Well, we won't even go into discussing the previous board. I get the sense from reading the board meeting minutes that it's not a rancorous. It would be hard to even begin to compare it to the previous incarnations that we had there shortly before our decertification. It functions as a regular board. One of the things that I guess that I've seen is our previous board was elected. It consisted mostly of people that everybody knew in terms of our small handball community. And the big argument that took place back then is, these guys aren't business people. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going to fight amongst themselves. We need to have some independent directors, people that know how to raise money, people that know how to run a business, people that aren't going to be swallowed up by the political intrigue that is USA Team Handball. And I bought into that argument, but I didn't buy into it to the point where you have a board where there's essentially, from what I can tell, 7 people that don't really have a background in USA Team Handball, and then 2 representatives who do, since they're athletes, they're part of the Athlete Advisory Council. And I get the sense that there's a little bit lacking in terms of the history of where we've been. Is that what you
see? I agree. I think the trade-off has been it is very business meeting. It's like my other business meetings, right to the point, updates on what's happening, handling some business. Where a previous board was, like you say, more conversation and conflict. But there's no doubt it could definitely have more handball flavor. Many times I've expressed that we need to include some of the past so we don't make the same problem, make the same mistakes that we've made in the past. We're not trying to recreate the wheel. Let's talk to some of the people who have been through this and include them in the process.
Now, I guess, I'll just take a look at our board meeting, or not board meeting, but our town hall meeting that we just had. One question relative to where nationals are next year. I guess maybe there are fewer people than I think that actually really care, what's going on in terms of, USA team and ball soup to nuts. I was expecting a lot more questions. That being said, I do think that there are some people that you could add to the board with the right number so that they don't take it over.
Right.
that they'll get listened to. Sometimes they may get listened to, and they may, as you alluded to when the talk of 2012, you had your say, but you were essentially two voices among an entire board.
Correct.
But at least you had your say.
Right.
And I think that they could add a few more people like that into the board, or even have a congressional structure of some sort where there's more of a formal way to bring your input in. And I guess this is not to say that you can't pick up the phone and talk to these folks. Mm-hmm. But what's your perspective? Do you think we need more of a formal way for people to participate in the process?
I think so, but I also understand the hesitation. Coming in as a new NGB, and you read the minutes of the old, there was a lot of dysfunction, and so I can see the hesitation of involving some of those people from past, but I also think that we don't miss out on the asset of involving some of those people in the past.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that you would like to add? On to our discussion, or
I just think what my kind of goal from the beginning is, to represent the athletes, but also to bring some integrity and some transparency, and that's been tough, but it's something I really strive for and really challenge our board and staff on, is making it as clear and as honest as possible, so we let the athletes know what's really happening. So that's what I'm trying to do, and I am available and interested in talking to anybody that needs my help and assistance in any way. So
okay, all right, David, thanks a lot.
Sure.